Mandela Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital in Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. Now, it is quite an auspicious occasion in New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen. It is the anniversary of the big Christchurch quake. Now, the thing that happened about a year ago today, during lunchtime in Christchurch, they were struck with like a 6.4 quake, a real shallow one. Like, instead of 30 kilometres deep, it was 10 kilometres deep, which is incidentally 33 kilometres deep is the extended distance that the HAARP weapons can penetrate, and 10 kilometres deep is the minimum. And there just happens to be a HAARP facility in Birdlings Flat, not 15 minutes drive from Christchurch. And there were 9 US congressmen and also the head of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And essentially what happened was they stepped on a plane about 2 hours before that quake hit. Isn't that interesting? And, of course, the head of FEMA stayed behind to coordinate the disaster. Oh, sorry, the relief effort, perhaps a Freudian slip there, assisted by 1,000 New Zealand troops who were incidentally doing a disaster drill that day in Lyttelton Harbour. Again, not too far a drive from Christchurch at all. But of course, that's all just a coincidence. And it's also a coincidence that the government winds up contracting all the demolition and rebuild to themselves because they have a massive stake in a company called Fletcher Construction. And also, incidentally, the mayor competition the day before this quake, Jim Anderton, who was leading about 20% ahead of the polls, said that there would have to be a massive earthquake tomorrow in order for Bob Parker, the existing mayor, to be re-elected. And then it happened! But of course, this is all incidental. It's all hearsay. And there weren't 40 sonic booms reported in the mainstream media coming out of the air that day either. Were there? Come on, people. They did it. Yes, they did. And they're making a heck of a lot of money off of doing it and continuing to do it. Freaking everybody out, destroying the country, lowering the value of the economy, causing immense amounts of pain and suffering, having being given the excuse to have draconian control over everybody's suburbs, a cop on every street corner, people have to evacuate their buildings at whim. This is good training, don't you think? There is some enormous, demonstrable scumbaggery afoot. And we had all best be cognizant of that fact 1 year on. And people would say that I'm insulting the people of Christchurch by speaking in this way, by even dare presume that it was a manufactured, man-made disaster just because the Prime Minister said it twice in a row. Doesn't mean that it is, eh? You know, that's what all the other evidence is for, mate. Sorry. I'm not trying to insult the people of Christchurch. My sister lives in Christchurch. I've told her, get the frack out of there. Because the economy will never recover from this disaster of this magnitude. And not to mention it's a convergence of disasters. The election of John Key disaster. The Jerry Brownlee earthquake recovery minister disaster. The guy weighs like 300 pounds. He could probably be responsible for the earthquakes for all we know. Who ate all the pies? Brownlee ate all the pies because that's just the way he does it. Who better to coordinate an effort of absolute economic suction cupping and the total restructuring of the entire city into a nice, beautiful, UN-approved Eco-City Agenda 21 medicinal supplementary metropolis. Oh, yes. Won't that be good? Nobody will be able to afford cars. Everything will be public transport. Everything will have all nice, brand new, shiny cameras everywhere. It'll just be great. It'll be like living in an open-air prison. kind of like what we are living in now, except it'll really be in your face. And the shakings won't be coming from underground. They'll be coming from the very pituitary glandish police officer roided out of his brain pan, tasering you, and then making popcorn with your spinal fluids. Maybe that's a little bit harsh, but I can guarantee you, no matter how much hyperbole I throw into tyranny, I find that I just can't overshoot it. Because there's no upper limit to tyranny. Is there? You know, Chairman Mao killed 60 million Chinese. And he took over the country with 1% popular support. I call that tyranny. And the exact same thing that's happening in this country and every other. A very small, determined, scumbaggery minority has decided that it is a grand idea at this particular point in time, as people are waking up to every single one of their agendas simultaneously, that they're under big threat and they had best move quick. However, how do you expose a fascist? You make them act like it. All of us are making them act like what they are, and we are seeing the agenda for what it is, and it is waking a lot of people up. It is inevitable. We have already won. We're just going through the motions here. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and I apologize for that rant to my guest, because I took quite some time out to talk about this, because I feel it's quite important. My guest is Lisa M. Harrison. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Vinnie. I thought this was the lighter side of genocide. That was quite an intro.
Well. Speaking of quite an intro, I expect you've got one for yourself too.
Oh, no, I'll let you do the honours.
No, because I know nothing about you, and I'm going to have to ask you, the same as I ask every guest that I know nothing about, which is the majority, to be honest. Mm. We're just talking about this for the first time. We're just two people in a room having a conversation, and Just like any bar or cafe in the country, people would hear that conversation and lean a little closer to listen in. Because when two intelligent people have a conversation, it's damned interesting listening.
What do you know about me?
I know that your name is Lisa M. Harrison, and you come up on Google a lot, so that means a lot of people know about Lisa M. Harrison. Other than that, I'd like to you to kind of introduce yourself, explain to us who you are and what you do.
Well, my name is Lisa Harrison. I'm Australian, and for the last 18 months or so, I've been talking to people much the way you do and interviewing them, having some really amazing discussions with some very interesting people with very interesting stories, and putting them out there for the benefit of anybody who is looking for that kind of information. I've talked to people about their travels interdimensionally, their contact with other races, their spiritual awakenings, their involvement in the conspiracy and black ops world. So it's been an interesting journey for the last 18 months.
The rabbit hole has become a deep underground military base.
It's a warren. It's not a hole.
So how deep does the rabbit warren go?
Oh, I don't think we've even scratched the surface, probably, even as much as we think we know.
You know, have you noticed that's a self-evident truth, that the more you know, the more you know that you don't know?
Yes, and you've got to hold that belief, I think, that open mind, that I just don't know what I don't know.
Wait a second. And then explain stupid people who think they know everything, because they know so little that they think that that's all there is to know.
But you know, you've got yourself, you go, the more you get down this rabbit hole, the more you realise there are more tunnels and more doors and more levels, and it just never ends.
Now, at some point does one think to oneself, is there a point of actually checking out this stuff? Like, maybe that's not where my focus is going to be, because it's just not that interesting to me, I'm sorry. I'm going to go over in this direction. Yeah, and that's the irony of the situation, isn't it? almost everything that you do, at least in this realm, in the conspiracy and the alternative media and the spiritual awakening, and basically being open to almost all the information that is really out there that a lot of people just don't know, that's very strange. How can somebody prioritize one particular field and ignore all others? It comes contrary to the whole awakening idea of knowing about New World Order, knowing about conspiracy, and that it is a real thing and it does exist and it's everywhere. You have to try and reconcile.
And this is where you can get into trouble coming into contact with groups like, say, the 9/11 truth movement. In some cases, they can be so purely focused and blinkered on 9/11 that they're not looking at the connected areas, and we're isolating people in these different groups, and basically everyone needs to come together, I think, and share what they know and realize that they're all playing a part and they're all pieces to the bigger puzzle.
Do you believe that knowledge is power?
Yes.
Do you think that power corrupts?
Yes.
So what's the best way thing to do with your power? I think it's to share it, because yes, it's only the self-accumulated power that corrupts. If you've got power and it's equally shared with everybody amongst you, you've got no advantage over them. So
well,
there's
power and there's power. I mean, if you're coming from a heart-based place and it's not coming from a need to have power over, but a power for self in terms of your own sovereignty as a being, that's a different kind of power to have. But the desire for power over others, that's the one that corrupts.
Is it the selfishness or the outwardness that people need to be focused on? You know, and the answer seems very simple, but to be honest, I'm not so sure anymore, because I find that if you're only thinking about the collective's good, you forget about your own. And if everybody forgot about their own goodness, it wouldn't be any good for the collective.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we're told that it's very selfish to focus on oneself. But you are a piece of that collective, and the collective is the result of the individual. So how can you ignore yourself and play a part in the or have a positive input in the collective? It doesn't make sense.
It's like you're one of the cogs in the machine of the collective, okay? And that means that you can't move in all the directions or all the ways or in all the sizes of all the other cogs in that machine, okay? So if you try to change that and start thinking about the entire machine as opposed to just you, the beautiful, wonderful, nicely carved, perfectly engineered cog, if you don't think about you and what you're doing, then it throws the whole system out of whack. So ultimately, the responsibility rests with oneself. You know, the other night, I carried a guy that I had never even met before because his friends weren't large enough to carry him. And I was like, okay, is there any other 6'4" burly gentleman around other than me? No, okay, responsibility falls on me. Never met the guy, haven't done that much exercise in a long time.
Why was he in need of being carried, can I ask?
Inebriation.
Uh-huh, okay.
Severe, to the point where I got him home and, you know, physically having to do all this, carry him, getting him out of the car, just utter loss of motor function whatsoever. Cannot hold himself up, cannot do anything except lie down or lean in places where we've placed him purposefully so that he'll just kind of stay there for a second while we catch our breath. You know, that kind of inebriation. And I felt that, seeing as it was his first time ever doing this, and I think we've all been there. Imagine waking up tomorrow and hearing this story about how this random dude came out of absolutely nowhere, carried you for like a kilometre, put you into your bed, took off your shoes, took off your pants, threw a blanket over you, put a pillow under your head and a garbage can next to your head after forcing two glasses of water out of you. Some random dude did that and said, my job here is done, and left. Wouldn't that be a life-changing experience?
I would think so. Absolutely.
All right, so I made that life-changing experience happen for a number of people that night because they were all party to this.
Well, look, if this time is about anything, it's that self-responsibility. And you had a moment of self-responsibility in that at that time. You had a choice to make. And you chose to be responsible to yourself by doing the right thing and to the collective, I guess you could say. And I think that's what this time is all about. We've been told for so long what to think, how to feel, what to do in any given circumstance. There's a law or a guideline or a fine to guide you, to tell you what to do in any given circumstance. And we just haven't had to think for ourselves. And that's what this time is about for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I once said when I was very young that all we can do in this life is learn what we can, and in time, use what we've learned to teach others to do the same. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Lisa Harrison, and we'll be right back after the break. Join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road when along came a semi with a high-end canvas-covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca Mac with me, you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
I've been to deep underground military bases and stargates and all the top of the pyramids, and I've also been to the ancient places where they buried giants back and down in Saudi Arabia. Man, I've been everywhere. I've been everywhere, man. I haven't been to any of those places. Some of them might be fictional. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that just, you know, goes where others fear to tread, hence we've been everywhere. And we basically set the bar really low here. I don't know my guests. They just come on, and it's two people getting to know each other, having a conversation, and it's natural, unlike GMO food. My very special guest is Lisa Harrison. Welcome back. Now, we were talking about the whole knowing question. It's like, how do you know that you really know something? Yeah. I've just kind of come to the point where I'm past actually caring whether or not I'm right or wrong exactly, because if I am wrong, basically somebody would come and tell me, right, so I can correct it. But then again, they might correct it into something that's also wrong, and somebody else might come and tell me about the other thing. So people be obsessed with being right. I actually assume that everything I know to be true is actually wrong. And I merely am waiting for other evidence to be produced to make me correct about it.
I think that everything I think I know is simply a theory, an evolving theory. As far as I think all we can do is go with what feels true in any given moment, and that can change in any given moment as we grow, as we evolve, as we become more aware. What feels or you think is absolutely outrageous and impossible today could feel completely right tomorrow. And
especially with a few decades of conditioning and socialization.
Exactly. And I don't know if there is one complete and only truth, you know, that if we'll get to a point where we all come to the exact same conclusion. I don't know whether that'll happen.
A friend of mine once told me that there are many truths.
I'm inclined to think that.
And that's true.
Well, I mean, look at, let's take 9/11 for an example. There were people for whom that day was their last day. There are people for whom that day was one of the worst in their life. But I also know people who, for whom it was one of the best days of their life because they happened to be on a sailboat in the middle of the ocean, knew nothing about what was going on in other parts of the world, and were having the most extraordinary experiences swimming with dolphins. And it was a day they will never forget as being one of the best days of their life. Now, two completely different realities, and both are completely true for those people. So what's true? Is 9/11 the worst day of, you know, modern history, or not? Yes, for some and not for others.
It's subjective, isn't it?
Hmm.
Is that what really individuality is about? Like, G. Edward Griffin told me that there's no such thing as a group. Like, it's an abstraction, like a forest, for example. It's one thing multiplied by many times and it becomes something else, like in your mind. But it's only in your mind. You can't go and touch a group of people, can you? You can't go touch a forest. There's no such thing as a forest, really. There's only trees. And there's only people. So the whole mentality of thinking on a collective level is always inevitably trumped by just thinking about the individual. Okay, what's this going to do for that person or this person or whatever in the small scale? And this is a difficulty when you're talking about mainstream media broadcasts that give people collective experiences simultaneously, like on 9/11, because the individual interpretation is controlled, isn't it?
Well, that's certainly attempted to be, yes.
Mm. And it's only been long since 9/11 that the truth has started to come out. And that's what happens when you communicate or organize on a mass scale. Ultimately, people do not have understanding of why they're being organized, you know. I'm sure that the Nazi boys who stood up and go, hey, wait a second, isn't what we're doing kind of wrong? And the chief would say, well, just don't worry about it. Okay?
Everything because they were taught to think about people as a collective, not as the individuals involved, yes.
Yeah. Well, see, they were kind of brainwashed and forced into it. And I think that this is actually the disease that is now ravaging the minds of people. It is a veritable pandemic of collectivist ideology. It's been branded and imprinted into people. We're to the point where they think that they don't matter.
You know, Michael Tsarian actually cringes. I've seen him cringe at the words we and oneness. And the last tour he just did was very much about that, about the psychology of this oneness, the collective, and that we need to bring the focus back to the individual. And by only doing that, by looking after your own psychology and spiritual well-being, can you have any impact on any collective anyway?
Exactly. And I feel this now because I've struggled to be something really big and successful and great my whole life. Not because I just wanted the fame and the glory and the money and all that kind of stuff, because I wanted to actually help people much larger, in much bigger and better ways. Very, very much similar to my father. He made like a $8 million company, you know, basically off of just pure hard work and innovation, creativity. And the local council down where he was living, out on the beach, you know, he got a batch out there, they wouldn't tar seal the road. So he paid for the community's road to be tar sealed himself. Just because, you know.
Just because he could.
Just because he could. And everybody needed it. And so he did it. And I'm very much the same way. I'm big on generosity, but I'm mostly, my generosity comes out of necessity. If somebody needs me to do something for them, and for anybody else, it would be a big ask. For me, it's not that much, you know. How many people get to come on radio or get onto YouTube sort of on a daily basis or whatever? I can, so I can share it with other people. That's the whole thing about sharing power.
Mm. And knowledge. I mean, that's what this is all about, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And I feel quite strong about it, that when people kind of get too far ahead of themselves, they get too full of themselves, and they're not humble. And what I've done, and I hope it works, is I'm now in contact with people that are new almost on a daily basis, usually all of which who are very great at exposing scumbaggery. So if on the horrible off chance that this all goes to my head and I become some form of douchebag, there will be enough people that know me and can see me do it and tell me not to.
Oh, there's no chance of that,
Betty. Yeah. Well, you never say there's no chance. You know, never say never, because it's all a matter of the right pressures being applied to you, essentially.
That's true, but I'm sure you can stay grounded and centered. You sound like you're coming from a very good place.
It's because I have very good people to talk to every day.
Hmm. I mean, there's certainly some egos down these rabbit holes.
Oh yes,
and don't take this personally because it's not about you, but many of them are male. And
yes, they are.
Yes, but I think that's what's changing too. It's sort of the microcosm of the macrocosm when you. This particular little rabbit hole is indicative of what goes on globally anyway in the mainstream. And lots of male egos are being shaken up.
Mm-hmm. I found that the male-female dynamic in a survival sense of the word, the male will kill any threats, you know, we'll see them and hear them before they're coming and we'll be able to defend ahead of time or attack if necessary. And the females are the ones who give new life and nurture it up until it's capable of defending itself, and the male simply protects the female in that measure, right? Now think about this not in a survival mentality specifically, but think about the global genocide that is planned for all of us, and then think about the male female dynamic in, say, the truth movement. So you got people that are the big warrior kind of radio show hosts who get out, they expose scumbaggery, they make documentaries, they host the radio shows, they run their websites, they gather ridiculous amounts of information to inform people. They really are running a military operation, essentially. And then you have a look at a lot of the females. Many female radio show hosts I've had on this show. And I find that they are more the nurturing sort of helping you to look more inwards and sort of evolve as a person, whereas the males seem to want you to become strong in yourself, have confidence in yourself, and go out there and take on what is threatening you. And I think that both are absolutely necessary, and it's the reason why human beings still survive today, because of the relationships between men and women.
You know what I've noticed down the straw man rabbit hole in particular is that it's the men out there, you know, sort of as the gurus teaching remedy, but it's the women who are submitting the paperwork and going to jail and fronting up to court and dealing with the sheriffs and the ones on the front line. There are more. I know of more women who have spent time in jail as a result of following a male guru down that particular rabbit hole than men.
Mm-hmm.
And the few men that have make a lot of noise about it.
Mm.
It's a strange dynamic that I'm seeing that women are the ones putting their lives on the line, and their livelihoods on the line, and their homes on the line, and their families on the line.
Is it because men as well, and like everybody now? They realize that their livelihood and their life and their freedom is at risk.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm seeing more balls. Can I say balls? I'm seeing more balls in the feminine aspect of this fight than I expected.
Mm. The mistress cometh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's part of the great duality of our species, I think, because it's just you can't have one without the other. One cannot survive without the other. Both are necessary. Both are needed. And that's what balance is. Now, both of them, both of the spectrums may swing radically from side to side at some point, and they might appear overbearing or crazed or whatever. But at the end of the day, when you look at how dangerous the situation we're all finding ourselves in right now, right here, with all the infinite machinations of scumbaggery, it makes all that kind of male versus female rhetoric, and instead male with female rhetoric, kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, you know, it's just, we have to pull together, that's for sure. Yeah.
We're all screwed, whether or not we have something swinging or not.
Exactly. Yes.
So, you know, don't be worried about the women or the men screwing you, because the government and the New World Order scumbags already are. Okay. Notice who's raping you.
What do you see as the outcome? Do you think they're losing?
My contention has been for a long time that they've already lost. You know, they lost as soon as they did 9/11, as soon as they did something that public, something that obvious, something that big to pick apart, that it started a chain reaction in the minds of men with internet that they didn't foresee, and now they're scrambling to try and shut it down. But as they do, and the only way they can shut it down will actually make it blossom and grow even stronger, faster, and harder, and more aggressively, that there is no way out of this for them. And they need to surrender if they want to survive what's coming to them.
You know, it's an irony, but that's the case, that 9/11 did what it did. And even now, still, with the economy in the US, for instance, with the fact that people are losing their jobs and their homes, and all that's doing is waking them up. Still, now they have time and they have motivation to get educated and informed.
Yep. And we will capitalize on every single available moment. You know why? Because that's what humans do in a survival situation. They make every opportunity to stay alive and protect themselves. And you'd best be aware that 7 billion people trying to protect themselves are very dangerous. We'll be right back after the break.
Bonkers.
Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in too deep. And all I care about is sex and violence. And every baseline is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but unless I let you give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get my for
welcome
free.
Back to the show that's all about getting your thrills for free. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the most fabulous 2 hours in talk radio, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, the sexiest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And my very special guest, speaking of very sexy, is Lisa Harrison from Australia. And I also, Lisa, before we get into what we discussed on the break, I wanted to make an apology to Australians in general, not because I feel sorry for you or anything like that. It's because when I had Max Egan and Santos Bonacci on my show, we ragged on Australians, you know, called them alcoholics and bogans and all that other various stuff. It was unnecessary because...
you know, coming from a New Zealander, we wouldn't take offence anyway. We'd just write that off.
Well, you know that there have been several people who have emailed and commented on YouTube that says, I'm an Australian and I've been listening to you for a long time, Vinny, and after that kind of stuff, it's all cliches and BS and I can't be bothered. But is it just that those people that have said that to me just don't have a sense of humour?
Well, I would think so, because I laughed. I thought it was funny.
All right. Okay.
I thought Australia and New Zealand had a bit of a history of taking the out of each other.
Well, yeah, in the alcohol sense of the word, taking the piss out of one another. Right. Which is incidental because both of our cultures are severely alcoholish, you know. New Zealand is the worst binge-drinking culture, statistically, in the world. We have the biggest binge-drinking problem in the world. Like, even Russia doesn't have as big a drinking problem as we do here in New Zealand. It's unbelievable.
I would suggest Gold Coast is probably second. At schoolies week.
Well, the thing is, everybody thinks they're second, but only New Zealanders know they're number one.
Yeah, no, we have a lot in common. There's a lot of New Zealanders here.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Australians here. And it's come to the point where, because of the globalist-controlled media and culture and all of that kind of stuff, it means that most of our English-speaking cultures are virtually all the same anyway. You know, there's little eccentricities that here and there, but...
Exactly, yes.
You know, what's the difference?
It's an amalgamation now.
Yeah, we're all a big melting pot. Now, people have been coming and asking you questions about who you believe and what do you think is true and all of that kind of stuff. And you had some words of wisdom that you wanted to share out of. Because on the show, I try to ask people each show, if I remember, to tell us something that they don't normally have an opportunity to say, or they forget, or there's not enough time, or feel it's a bit risque, or whatever. And this is what you wanted to talk about, so shoot away.
Well, yeah, ever since I've been doing this, I mean, people ask me, do I believe the person I'm talking to, I'm interviewing, you know, what are my thoughts on them? And I haven't shared it because... I don't feel it's my place. It's up to each individual to listen to the interview, hopefully get a feeling about the information in the person sharing it and make their own assessment. And I know that if I was to pipe in, that it would colour that assessment. And I also know that everybody I speak to, you know, whether they're talking about their abduction experiences or their black ops military experience or whatever, I know that everyone could be, in fact, a fraud and full of it. That's kind of just goes with the territory. But I approach every interview with, what if this is true? And I think that's the only way that I can get myself into a place where I ask the right questions and speak on behalf of the people for whom it will be true. And there are going to be, like we talked about earlier, there are going to be people who for whom that information is spot on, right here, right now. It may not be next week, next month or next year, but in the moment they hear that interview, it's going to connect dots for them and feel true, and that's what they needed to hear. And I need to come to the interview with that frame of mind. What if this is true? But the disclaimer there is that I always know, it's sort of a given, that this whole rabbit warren is full of disinfo and they want as much airtime as anybody. So, yeah, it's about self and gets back to self-responsibility. It's up to each individual to make their own call. It's not up for me to make the call for them and go, well, you know, this person is full of it or this person you can believe.
Yeah. I completely agree. It's too much responsibility for one person to tell everybody else what to think and what's true and what's real.
Well, who's to say I know anyway?
Exactly.
I know what feels right for me, and I walk away from each interview with something from each of the people I talk to, even if I'm convinced that they're probably disinfo.
I mean, there
has to be an element of truth in there, or otherwise we wouldn't buy it at all.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised how much lies can teach you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They can teach you how to perceive the entire world, in fact.
Yes, how much truth is actually revealed in amongst all the lies.
Mm-hmm. You know, what can you verify? And what I have started doing, or rather do from time to time, actually, is you watch debunkings of people. You know, there's a couple of people out there who do really decent kind of hardcore research and debunk a lot of people in the truth movement kind of thing. Well, usually just elements of what they say and not the person altogether with everything else, but. I find it is really informative to have counter arguments to the person that you believe and have put it on a pedestal.
Yes, absolutely. I agree there. And you're talking about people like Well Aware as well?
Don't know. Okay. Wait, Dallas Goldbug?
Yeah.
I wasn't mentioning anybody specifically because there's another thing that I try to stay away from on this show, but I have been doing it. But I don't kind of like bash people on the air. This is a strictly propagandistic promotional truth of show, you know. There's lessons we could teach here, but we don't have to point fingers at each other or kind of thing. Because I just think it just buys into the whole truth of infighting buzz, and it's not cool, man. It's really not cool.
I'm not pointing fingers at him at all. I was talking about him as someone who's put in an awful lot of research to do some debunking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's done an excellent job in some areas.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people think so. He was actually quite a stellar guest when we had him on here.
Oh, you have spoken to him?
Oh, yeah. Who hasn't?
Well, me. I keep being asked.
Well, do you want his Skype info, love?
Oh, no, I've got it.
Yeah.
I'm still weighing that one up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, see, like I said in the beginning, it's funny, in the beginning, everything comes back to the beginning. We set the bar very low on this show, and I don't have to necessarily know anything about the person that I'm talking to. You simply get into a room, you're two intelligent, decent people, and you have a conversation, and I let them talk about what they like to talk about, because that's what interests them, that's what they're passionate about. I'd rather talk to somebody about what they're interested in, what they're passionate about, than try and direct the conversation elsewhere. So hopefully I don't do no attacks on other people on this show. I mean, I'm trying to stop doing it because you get so negative and you start to hate everybody. And who wants all that baggage? You know, it's just like if I don't like somebody, it's like block and I never hear from them again.
That's the beauty of the position you're in. You can do that, yes.
Yes. You know, and why wouldn't I? You know, who are these people paying me? Unless somebody's paying me, I will not take any abuse or direction. You got it?
Well, hopefully you're not going to do that for pay either.
Well, you know, if I already am getting paid by the listeners as it stands. You know, if you go to thevinnyacewoodshow.com or gorillamedia.co.nz, you can donate me $5 a month or $20 a month, $40 a month, however much you want to donate, essentially. And I just keep doing my job. And every time I get more donations in, it puts the impetus on me to do more work. And I do. So essentially, I'm the only employer I have is the people who actually use the stuff that I make, you know? Yes. It's about supporting your alternative media and giving a platform to people so that they can come on and have their say. And you'd be surprised how much perspective you gain if you listen to very, very many people and very many people from different fields.
And I think that's what I like about where my work is going at the moment, is because I'm being approached from people that are not known, you know, and I believe everybody has a story. I've always believed that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, to people living out in the suburbs who are just having the most amazing awakening and receiving knowledge and have something important to share with the rest of us, you know?
Yeah.
Not the gurus.
Just remember, it's the individual that's important. So you'd best be listening to them. So thank you, Lisa, for coming on. And do you have a website?
I do. It's just lisamharrison.com.
LisaMHarrison.com, LisaMHarrison.com, and LisaMHarrison.com in a propagandistic fashion. If you repeat things three times or more, people will more likely remember them. Thank you very much, Lisa, for your...
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. I hope you had fun.
I did.
Okay, good. I've followed the rules of the show then. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening up. And coming up after the show, we'll have Odin, Andy, Wild, Hunt from the Uber Kingdom. Back in a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The fastest, most fabulous, tumbleweed rolling, bad comedy 2 hours in talk radio. If you don't have your daily dose of conspiracy and comedy, you can wind up in a fetal position of some description. My very special guest is Andy Wild Hunt. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Hi, Vincent. Hello, listeners to American Freedom Radio. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, I guess.
And in case I don't see you, good night. Now, there was also, what did I want you to do? Oh, yes. Can you just give people just a brief outline of who you are and plug your website just for those who don't know you?
Oh, okay. I don't have my own website at the moment, but it will be up and running pretty soon. So that's good news. And I'm bumming around on United We Strike at the moment, United We Strike Radio. That's been up and going for the last 3 years. And I'm taking part and very much trying to help everybody there on the peace train that happens middle of every month. And that's a get together of a load of different hosts worldwide. To try and speak the truth and let people update people on just a massive amount of very important information that people just wouldn't necessarily otherwise hear. And that's on unitedwestrike.skybolt.biz, okay? And of which you're, of course, a part, I'm happy to say, American Freedom Radio and Vincent Eastwood. And myself, me, well, I've taught English as a foreign language overseas in the best part of my life when I was younger. And about 6 years ago, I guess, I was unemployed and claiming £65 a week for a period of 6 years odd because I was job seeking and looking for work. And during that time and all the amount of time I was investing in filling in application forms, I just felt that the heroin dealing around the general area I was living in wasn't being dealt with by the police, and then the attitude of the police with regard to when I call them to get it dealt with, that there was something definitely wrong. So I was spending a lot of time investigating information on the free and open internet, which you're right, Vincent, they haven't actually managed to take that down yet, surprisingly. And I think probably I was always very uneasy with 9/11, what happened on that day in New York. And I heard Alex Jones on, it wasn't on the internet, but actually on some localized radio station out of Liverpool. And he was dramatically explaining what he's discovered with regard to the questions that really ought to be answered with regard to how it went down on that day. And it was really from there I started investigating certain rabbit holes on that for myself to see if what he was saying was true. Went through a whole range of different websites. That was a while back, and also took out claims, small claims, against my local council in a small claims office in a somewhat a naive way. And then after I discontinued one of the claims and was left with a £2,000 costs bill from a solicitor, which people tend to forget because they do try and threaten you with bills of efforts that barristers, lawyers, solicitors allegedly make. So I went calm, went to the internet, and I think I found TPUC as per starter and discovered the whole straw man, free man event. In fact, I was looking through a whole range of different areas of information to help me understand what position the bankers have given the people of the world, not just Ireland, not just UK, not New Zealand, the entire planet, over a stretch of a bare minimum of the last 700 years, and the wars that they create therein, everything. Now, I'm a, like yourself, I'm a discerning man. I don't believe just any old willy-nilly, just anything. But I exercised my right claim of right on asking for a contract on my name on the costs bill, and the site that happened, I did that diligently, peacefully through a court, got loads of paperwork together for that, made it myself, and it worked because it's real, it's true, you know, and I just decided to, you know, one of the things I was going to do, instead of actually getting a mixer and getting on the internet streams to voice what I know to help people wake up to these matters, was I was going to get a an FM transmitter, you know, without a license, of course, and just put it on a van and scoot around and play MP3s, because there's been an awful lot of very, very good information, including yours, Vincent, around to try and wake people up. But I haven't got that far yet, but I've just found something that I might be able to do that, actually. But I'll discuss it another time, because I'm quite happy to do that without license. I don't care. And I can cut into the local stations worldwide, like if I so wish, that people should do so. They should investigate how they can do this, because of the immense amount of propaganda and trash that is coming out of the BBC in the UK, RTE in Ireland, and no doubt in your area as well. And so I've got into radio show hosting. I could read out documents, but then I swung towards having interviews. And I interviewed you when I was working for last summer, just last summer I was working. I started with TNS Radio out of Ireland. That's tnsradio.ning.com out of Ireland. And if people went to that site, they'd actually see that there's a vast amount of information helping people there with solutions with regard to having their doors kicked in and being chucked out onto the streets, really. That's a bit for a start anyway, Vincent.
Yeah, very nice. Thank you. Because I didn't know a lot of that about you, Andy, as well. How you came to do it. You know, when I met you, I just thought you were, you know, a radio show host, just first time starting out sort of thing, and wanted to get some of the truth accomplished, and that's all I needed to know. Because the same is true of a lot of us.
Absolutely. No, I feel your anger. I feel, it's kind of, I've always... I liked you straight away, Vincent. Just to let listeners know, it took us, for real, half an hour to work out at exactly a 12-hour time difference. if you remember that, do you recall?
Yeah, I think this might have been one of my first interviews where I had to organise somebody, you know, to be on their show in the UK. So sounds about right.
Yeah, well, it did happen, and I just felt that... in fact, the discussion you just had with Lisa Harris there, one has to be very careful about people's integrity and their reasons as to what they believe in and why. And I also want to just quickly briefly pick up on the point that you were making about I've been going to meetings for quite a considerable amount of time. There's nothing like it, meetings in pubs in the UK, for instance, and talking to people and exchanging information and, you know, realizing yourself and learning a vast amount. That learning is basically taking the red pill on what's happening around the world right now. And it is painful. It's shocking. It's yourself. But a lot of the guys... that I've met, they're great guys. They're you know, the voices, I'm trying to get them to get their voices out on air, and they tell me their wives and or their girlfriends at the time, they don't understand what the man is doing on the computer night and day and stuff, and whilst they're just trying to get them to cue the recorder to record the latest X Factor show. And it is somewhat disappointing. I don't know if that's right across the board, but we all need to be doing this together. I'm not really one for... I've been digesting and looking at a whole different range, like yourself, but I'm not going to go off the end with New Agey stuff. The stuff I'm listening to that I'm trying to fathom whether or not who's saying what they're saying is absolutely true, because there's some very exotic stories out there right now with regard to the wars going on the highest level, yeah? Oh, and before I forget, I have actually booked in time as Ian R. Crane has said he will speak with me on the opening day of the next Peace Train, and that's on the 9th of March.
I just interviewed him not more than a couple of hours ago. I'll be uploading the video after the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. I've been trying to get hold of him for months. You see, you're more famous than I am, Vincent. That's important.
I don't know. I think it's actually that I'm able to forge a strong relationship with people and get them to like me real quickly.
Yeah. That's fantastic, yeah. That's integrity. That's a great gift. That's a gift you got, Vincent. That's tremendous, you know.
Yeah, no, it's either a tremendous feat of manipulative ability, or I'm just that nice a guy.
And so who was this? It sounds like you were out for a party there the other night and you were able to assist somebody home, I think. Was it you were just telling that story? Yeah.
Yeah. That was last Friday night. It was a big night for me. I filmed a commie left meeting talking about nonsense. And I'm just joking. There were a lot of good people there, a lot of good ideas. But
yeah.
Then I went and I was in a play for a guy named Teo Wells, who founded the Dull Bludgers Communication Society. That's not its name at all, but basically he just encourages people not to work and just be on the dole, and then determine their own path through life while they're getting money from the government to figure it out. Which incidentally is actually how I figured out exactly what I'd be doing. And if it wasn't for that support from the government for that period of time, I wouldn't be in the position I'm in now.
Yep. So. Probably me too. I think I heard there's some fantastic chat on American Freedom Radio, by the way. I listen to that and many other streams as well as I try learning and picking up. I'm sure someone mentioned that it's they backfired, because if there's so many people, if they can just have the whereabouts to have a computer, have some basic knowledge, get to the internet and start learning, obviously there's a great deal to pick up and digest. But with your free time, that's what you should be doing, focusing on surviving. But on that, Vincent, unfortunately, a part of the program of a cashless society is very, very much in place. And all these players that are messing around with big numbers like trillions of dollars, both in Australia and Christine Lagarde in Europe and in Greece, they are constantly trying to qualify the very existence of a world bank, of a currency. They've said it in words, actually. I saw statements the other day from Greece that the currency was electronically created, as we all know. It won't be backed by any silver or gold, but it is backed by gilts and sovereign bonds, which leads you straight back to the straw man, which is what it's always been backed and only by the force therein. Now, the thing is, I don't know if people... It's always good to repeat and repeat and repeat, I suppose. But the radio frequency identification chip in card, that's just the first stage, but that'll be the first stage. I don't know how further much further they'll get. But what that means is you will be expected, if you're already on the dole, anywhere around the world, Canada, America, social funding.
Welfare.
Welfare, that's it. That's the word I was looking for. You will be expected to work for free. And in a very patronizing way, people at job centers will say, well, there's loads of jobs here. How about that one there, making cardboard boxes for this particular employer? And you'll go, well, no, it's not really something for me. And then after about, 10 attempts or something like that, and you saying no, because you've got the right not to be treated outright like a slave, you're constantly under duress and being threatened with the fact that they can just switch off. They didn't actually need an RFID card to do that. They were doing that already anyway. You're with me, Vincent? But it's an ugly future if that is the only way you're going to survive. But there's a very, very much bigger picture here, and people aren't really seeing the long picture, the long haul, because all the stage show you're seeing with the Greeks who are fighting for their lives in the streets, as you know, you know, whatever deal was done, they have literally put a target end of 2 weeks on that. I don't know if you picked up on that on Press TV. I watch on the internet, Press TV, because that's been taken off the satellite in the UK or in Europe anyway. But
That's a beautiful, nice, concise, arbitrary way to destroy somebody's economy in a short amount of time, don't you think?
It's quite stunning, isn't it? If you know what's going on, that's...
Yeah, don't mess with the Bank of International Settlements. We can destroy your country in 2 weeks.
They put a date on it, and behind it is the worst possible mafia type. They are, everyone keeps forgetting to mention the word genocide, Vincent, which is precisely what is going on with mankind worldwide. They do mean it. They do mean what they say, and they're prepared to bring in attack ships, helicopters and stuff to beat it into you. They don't care if you're starving in the streets.
Look at it this way. Look at it this way. The guy who was elected to replace the other guy, all right, in order to sell everybody out to the EU and the Bank of International Settlements, used to work for Goldman Sachs, all right? Yeah. Well, yeah. And get this, his name was Papademos, all right? He worked for Goldman Sachs, and his name sounds like a venereal disease, and you think that he's going to fix your economy?
It's just how apathetic are people supposed to be? But they're not listening to us. They just won't. That's not what we want. I don't want that, is what you're seeing in the streets worldwide. And by the way, a fantastic video, a panorama documentary anyway, on the BBC, put out about the tent cities in Los Angeles and Vancouver and places like that that's become... I've known about those for the last 3 years they've been existing.
Yeah,
it's shocking. It's absolutely shocking, really. But they want you out in the street because this really is. Nobody ever mentions the wet dream of the Rockefellers and the Rothschild groups. I won't call them families, banking in groups, which are the top of it all.
Well, they are families. They're all interbred and interwoven. They're all related, you know, and it's just basically one big Uber breeding program family that's just feeding off the earth like a pack of bewitched vampires.
Parasites, that's right, yeah. And they say they will be taking, not only are they poisoning the world's resources, but they actually are handing that back to mankind, and they reckon they own it, everything. Oil, gas, you know. I'll have to pick up on that interview you had with the Ian R. Crane there. Yeah, that would be good.
It was good. I actually got him to explain to me how he woke up, and he said, oh, okay, I thought this interview was only going to be an hour. Have you got three?
Well, that's because normally he's quite the businessman, and he's quite sort of, it depends, you know, with his time, let's say, because I know he's a busy man. He was actually doing a big tour in Australia recently there, yeah.
Indeed, and speaking of busy men, we've got to pay the bills. Back in a moment, ladies and gentlemen, with Wild Andy Hunt at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Join us in the chat room if you wish. Back soon.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time.
It's business.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The sexiest 2 hours of talk radio, where it's all about business time and the Rothschild Banking Corporation sense of the word.
Listen, before we go any further, just please give a shout out for that piece of music there. That's great. What was that?
That's Flight of the Conchords. C-O-N-C-H-O-R-D-S, Conchords. They're a New Zealand band who made it big in America before actually getting any recognition for the comedy and the songs that they do. And they even had a very successful TV show called, of course, Flight of the Conchords.
Okay. Is that what they call freedom music or free music? Any copyright on that at all?
Oh, I would imagine there is copyright.
All right. Okay. Not to worry. Anyway, so back to banking, back into the heavy stuff. Basically, what that's going to mean is that as per plan, there'll be no chance, because of the targets, because of the interest attached, as we all know, there's no reality in what they're talking about, staying up late all night and discussing deep and speaking in deep, serious voices like it's all, like they're trying to do some kind of favour for Greece. They've chosen Greece. Spain, Portugal, Italy are all about to go down. Italy's full of bankers anyway. There's no politicians there at all. And just as predicted, what people have forgotten is that the beginning of a new tax year begins April. Anyway, yeah. Let me just... how about that? Yeah, okay, there you go. And the beginning of a new tax year comes up in April, and they've pre-prepared... for the financial crash and for the incept of RFID cards at that time. That, unfortunately, there is an inevitability too. And that is, of course, in conjunction with everything else that's going on in Iran. You know, the targets to be met there with regard to the possibility of even a nuclear third world war, which may well materialize in and around July, just at the right time there, when the Olympics will kick off, a massive military outfit happening there with UK and American soldiers ready to go at a stadium whereby we're all supposed to be clapping and happy that people are winning gold medals. That will be a farce, and it is a most important, integral part of the Freemason Zionist show, theatre show, that will unravel. I don't know if you got talking with Ian about that, but I hope to in some depth. Do you have any thoughts on that at all? I mean, it's pretty nasty. What's unfolding is not, you know, people are just seeing it on a day-by-day basis. I'm taking a stand-back view, and I can see that, unfortunately, you know, this is very real. So people should hold on at the very least. If they have any electronic beans left at all, it'll be worth 30% of everything that they've got in their electronic accounts in euros right across the euro board. And that doesn't mean that the euro...
Are you sure it's 30%?
I heard maybe it's even 10. Between 10 and 30 left.
Well, see, so, I would probably expect that it would wind up being 33%, but that's just me.
Oh, that's you've got an insider information then, haven't you?
Well, just that. Well, let me explain something, Andy. This is how in the media the Freemasons are. I watched something like 5 movies on television over the weekend. You know, I was trying to relax a little bit. Within those inside and between those 5 movies, there were about 10 television shows. In every single one of them, they mentioned the number 33. Yeah. And there was black and white tiling that they were walking on, and they did the camera angle from above so that they were basically looking directly onto the tiling. Okay, that is not a freaking coincidence. I mean, come on.
You're right. You're reading the right stuff. You're seeing the right stuff. It's in your eyes. It's in your face. And there was a White Hat's report, number 33. Also, actually, I just noticed on some of my research coming out. Yeah, everything's hanging around the highest echelons of the Freemasonry at 33. So, yes, actually, I'll bet you'll be right on that. And do you know what, Vincent? They hate us being able to work out their chess moves. You know, we know what they're doing. However,
you know why they hate it so much? Because they're the ones that created chess. Why do you think a chess board is black and white squares? Because the Freemasons believe in the power of the dark and the light, and that they control both.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah, but unfortunately, the controlling of both is that they've got so good at it, it seems, in the dark, in the quiet, murdering people over the last 700 years, that these are games that involve getting rid of vast sums of people. It's happening before your very eyes. It's not going to happen in one spate overnight. And another thing, Vincent, I was listening to Press TV, and 15,000 children are at this time being experimented on with injections from the Microsoft boss in Africa to allegedly get rid of malaria, and that's to little babies of 18 months old.
It's a hell of a lot easier to get rid of malaria if you kill the person who would have got it.
That's it, unfortunately, yeah. It's disgusting, really. And also, I wanted to talk to you, I don't know if you've picked up on this, but I was watching in amazement on the internet, not on TV. I saw the 15-minute disaster of a show that Madonna did at the Bowl.
Oh,
you know what I mean? And at the end of it, she had World Peace come up, which would be with horns on her head. She had World Peace that came up there. And a certain someone, Whitney Houston, was murdered on that day as well. And there's a definite link. People are making definite links to that. Unfortunately, if people listen to this and they think that that might be a little bit of a stretch and a bit fanciful and just not on, I'd say take another look at the information that's out there.
What date did the news come out on mainstream media that Whitney Houston died? Wasn't it the day before Valentine's Day?
Yeah, 13th.
And what date did the Super Bowl happen? It was a week before Valentine's Day. Around thereabouts.
Time's flying by so quickly.
So what did they do? Kill her and then keep her on crack ice until they dumped her in a bathtub. And meanwhile she'd been walking around and talking to everybody. She's freaking Whitney Houston. What do you suppose that they had a double? Come on, man.
I don't know the exact detail on that, Vincent. Really, I just think it's very dark. I just think that what Madonna was doing is definitely was analysed. And by the way, you had a fantastic discussion with Jessica. What's her name? Jessica something. Jessie, a girlfriend of Freeman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was actually explaining it very accurately.
Jessica Harrison, was it?
No, I don't think it's Harrison. No, it's... but yeah, she's got a real sexy voice. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah. Nice one, Andy.
Yeah, all right, yeah. But, what people need is... I know there's a lot of... it depends. I always figure when
Let's talk about the Madonna thing, actually, continuing on. What does world peace mean, and what does a Baphomet headdress look like? Okay, now, Baphomet's basically this old kind of, like, satanic sort of thing, you know, goat horns, etc. You know the deal. You've all seen it before. You've seen the imagery. That's Baphomet, basically. To a lesser or greater degree. If you ever look at the crown she was wearing, it had little devil horns, just like Baphomet. If you ever look at all the stuff she was wearing, she was all going on about the Roman Empire, basically. And then, of course, there was a whole lot of very, very weird, scary stuff. All the dancing and the parading and the ritualistic. It's almost like they were trying to feed off the energy out of all the people watching the Super Bowl halftime show to just rub it in their face that, yes, we serve Satan and we're going to give you world peace in the form of the place being quite peaceful because there's no people around to disturb it.
Actually, that's a very, very good point you've made, and it's very, very spot on. What they're doing is sucking on the positive energy, and they like negative energy as well. They create positive energy. They can suck out negative energy in their beliefs, in their psycho beliefs. That's what they are doing. Just as the 9/11 monument at the base of Ground Zero, there's these two squares that are sucking in water. You had a chat with Hilary Rimo. I don't know if you talked about that. I did with her. She's quite clear on, if you talk with Hilary Rimo about the significance of what exactly the, it's on her website actually as well, if you could take a good look at that. And she's analyzed that, and I think she's spot on right about the energy aspect and people feeling sad walking by there. And this monument is actually sucking up the negative energy, and it's real sick. And that is also going to be a part of what they're going to be doing in London as well. Oh, and another a quick shout out, if you haven't picked it up, do take a look at Rick Clay's interviews on Red Ice Creations, another fine young man who was said to have committed suicide but was actually murdered because of what he discovered with regard to the placement of the stadium in London and its absolute connections with Freemasonry and Zionism. Rick Clay from Red Ice Creations. You hear that and your jaws will drop.
Yeah, let me guess. It's like 33 meters from like the local Freemasonic lodge or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there is a lot of connect. Yeah.
See, these people really are nuts. They basically, because they've there's only a few types. I think Freda X said there's like five types of Freemasons or something. Some are obsessed with symbolism. Some are obsessed with politics. They're the ones who wind up, you know, being leaders of countries and stuff like that. And some are interested in mathematics, and some are interested in just going to the lodges to get away with their wives, and some are interested in just, you know, all the business connections and stuff that they've got in there. So you get all sorts of people, none of which you know anything, just right, according to their initiation rites and all of that kind of stuff. They just had to memorize something and repeat it back. They didn't have to understand it. They didn't have to go in there to do the background research. So if you go and you ask these people what's Freemasonry really about, I don't know.
Right. No, they don't. But it depends how far you want to take compartmentalization, you see, responsibility on roles and who really does know what they know. And how come we know what's going on? It's unfolding before our very eyes. We're not guessing here. This is real. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, see, actually, I take a point to that, Andy. Like, whether or not it's real is actually irrelevant. The point is the Freemasons definitely believe it is real. And
they're creating,
and they will carry this kind of stuff out, and they do it all the time.
Yeah. Well, yes, I mean, unfortunately, this is them, the Arab uprising, people who are losing their lives in the streets. None of that is coincidental. This is all being puppeteered. This is all planned. It's all planned.
See, and then there was another thing that somebody said at a meeting there a while ago, that, oh, well, we don't know the future. We're just going to try and oppose the government as best we can. And it's just like, well, you haven't read Agenda 21. You haven't even heard of it. You don't know what any of the agendas are. And that's why you don't know the future. You don't know that it's planned out. You don't know that there are open white papers and documents that tell you, basically, on a line-by-line accounting basis, precisely how much money your government is going to have in each particular year, as they have in the Securities and Exchange Commission, as I have seen. They don't know that they have projections like 10, 20 years out, and plans and council operations and all these contractors at all times, usually in staged events. The whole thing is one big plan. You're dealing with people here who have been at this game for a very long time, and they are very good at it.
That's right.
But unfortunately, there is no defense against an inside job. And I'm acting under the assumption that a lot of the whistleblowers and people of that nature that are coming out of the establishment and railing on it, like Catherine Austin Fitz, for example, unbelievable example of somebody who was in the inside, came out and did a mass amounts of damage to the establishment's credibility. And so this is all adding up. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. We've already won this fight. We're just going through the motions here.
Well, it's important to keep on the radio and keep talking about this and keep communicating information to one another and to the wider world, like you do, Vincent, very well. But there's a couple of things, two completely things. Let me see. Firstly, one solution to this is, there's a website called freetheplanet.net. Michael of Bernicea and Michael of Elmet, who's now Michael of Albones, they've been working out a strategy to get a universal community trust together. I don't know the exact workings of that, but basically, most certainly, it's not a trust that will be registered with any government. It's bartering and working amongst yourself outside of any fiat currency system. And just like, oh dear, you know, like a Brave New World 2008, I think there's a really sort of low budget movie on the internet. What it looks like, it doesn't have to be this way, but it looks like we're being forced into the fact that there'll be groups of individuals in communities hopefully making it work and working together. But they will have to be ready to attack and kill those who will be prepared to come in and attack and kill them, I think.
Exactly. Fire for fire, earth for earth, water for water, air for air. Everybody get to your places. Let's go. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, coming at you live from AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We'll be right back after the break with Andy Hunt. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com, and also in the chat room there as well. As in fact, there's quite a few stations and internet radio networks as well that are now streaming or playing the archives of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. So welcome one and all. For those of you who are listening live, welcome even more. And my very special guest is Andy Hunt. We only have one final segment or something like that. So Andy, if there's anything you wanted to ever talk about on radio that you never really got to or didn't quite come up on occasion, or it might be thought of as risque or something of that nature, plow ahead.
No, that's what I do all the time. That's I don't hold back. I don't think so. And I'm trying my best to pick up on the latest moves of the New World Order to try and make it known, really, for what I'm about to see unfold throughout this year. That's what I do. That's what I'm trying to do. Thanks.
So suffice to say, you don't like the way she moves.
I love the earth. I love the earth the way it is. I love the people in it. I love, thank goodness. I feel, I have emotion. And I want it that way. I see what's happening to children, the indoctrination within schools, the poisoning of the food. I'm not happy with any of that. It's not something I want to see. And I guess I'm going to be picked up and killed or something at some point, but I will remain on the radio as long as I can to disseminate the truth, the fact of what's really happening, and let's hope for change. It's all within the people to do it for themselves. It will come to your door individually, you know, and they're all going to have to step up and act, really, either peacefully in paperwork or otherwise. And as the economic crash comes down, then it's going to be soon, Vincent. People are hopefully going to turn to the internet and find you guys there with all your information already there and start honing in even more so, because there's a lot of people who are, a friend of mine called them zombies, the asleep within the matrix at the moment. And I think you mentioned it, you touched on it just earlier. Maybe they feel safe and secure. Maybe they've got enough money still, but soon that will change soon enough. And then they're going to start panicking. Then they're those same people who might call us ridicule people like us will start taking us way more seriously.
Thing is, we're not giving you vague ancient prophecy. We're giving you reality, okay, based on solid evidence, the facts reported in mainstream media that just basically don't get repeated over and over again like they fracking well should. And instead, you get the dog that can surf, or the hippopotamus that chased away an alligator from a wildebeest. Okay, random, pointless, but nonetheless entertaining and interesting.
And
in order, to distract you from reality. And in fact, it's gotten to the point where they're so focused on entertaining you that you want to be entertained with your news now, and you can't handle it any other way, unless it's like done in this very, very hilarious comic fashion, and there's sound effects and what have you. You know, you just lose interest after a while. That's why they have to do it in 30-second bursts. Blah, 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 scumbaggery, blah, 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 scumbaggery, do. And now this, you know, that kind of crap, for goodness sake. How can anybody put up with it?
The newscasts in New Zealand, Vincent, the newscasts over there, do they have in the morning, say, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the early hours of the morning, a man and a woman, and the man finishes off, doesn't actually quite finish off his sentence, but the woman finishes it for him, and then vice versa, with smiles on their faces, like you said, in 2 to 3 minute segments. That's called dumbing down. That's disgusting. They're telling you about news. But over on the BBC, they think that's the only way to work.
We should just shorten their logo. Instead of just BBC, just cut out to you. It's just BS, okay? It doesn't matter whether it's NBC, CNN, or Fox News, or anything like that. They're all actually part of the two-letter network. The BS network. The Broadcasting Scumbaggery Network. The Bullshite Muslim Network. It's trying to dumb you down. It's pretty straightforward. Nobody can deny it. So get with the programming.
Oh, and also just to remind people that there is in fact a shoot to kill policy. There'll be no one held responsible for the alleged police with their faces covered and no badge numbers or dressed in black on the streets of the United Kingdom PLC. That is already in place, and they do intend to shoot anyone dead if there's any trouble with the cans of gas that are being used in Egypt, which are full of poison that are, of course, made in the USA. That's all ready to go. Right? And, you know, Obama, actor Barry Satura, there has signed a piece of legislation that makes fiction, unfortunately, come reality, because they will use force and terrorism against they'll start with Americans. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath there unless people actually wake up and start protecting themselves. But at least they've got guns there, Vincent. At least they've got, that's more than they have in the UK at the moment anyway. But seriously, this is not, it's really very nasty. There's no need for this. What you're seeing is outright tyranny, you know, and it's all part of the control grid. Kenneth Clark was on Question Time, a program on BBC, allegedly on Thursday. I'm trying to get the soundbite from that. And he was mentioning the New World Order. The reason for that is because he's a Bilderberger, okay? Look it up. Look into it. He's a nasty piece of work, a snake that's been in the UK Parliament working both sides for the last 30 years, you know? And
you know what? That guy doesn't scare me because I have Bilderbergers for dinner.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Oh, we'll catch up with them. You know, people will have to... this is a strange time, Vincent. This is a strange time. You know, that's...
Hey, strange times call for strange measures, don't you think?
Yes, yes. Yes, they do. Yeah, something you might not have considered before. If you want to be protecting your family and your children, then start thinking about the reality, okay? This is not a movie, unfortunately, okay? That's all being pushed in your face. Oh, and by the way, Vincent, have you ever seen Escape from New York, John Carpenter, 1981?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The opening sequence, I'm playing that. If you listen to the music, the opening sequence, that they cut off the whole of New York and make it an open prison. Yes, yes. You see, there's
a lot... Are you able to play it, Andy?
Okay, let me see. It'll take us out. I suppose it's about 5 minutes long. It'd be cracker.
Oh, nice. Not enough time, unfortunately.
Oh, well, okay, just a second, people listening. Let me see just how quick I can land on that. Because I'm normally, you know, prepared and all. Where is it?
Honestly, the whole premise of it is that everybody's basically a criminal or treated as such. And you're willing to sacrifice your major economic zone in order to house criminals, which is incidentally a place where most of the criminals house themselves quite lavishly anyway.
Yeah, I know. They do. Let's see if you can hear this. And for the listeners, this is good. I'll just play the opening sequence. I've pieced together a little something. I won't play it all because it's absolutely brilliant piece of music. But if you can, listen to this. Quiet to start.
That's interesting. There's nothing inside but the world you've made, and once you go in, you don't come out. It's a very good way of describing the human mind as it's shaped by utter scumbaggery and mind manipulation by the mass media.
Yeah. Yes, I know. And also, the point there is that Hollywood knows this. Hollywood has been totally controlled and is one of the biggest programming tools known to man. It's all in your face, and what they're doing is carrying out what they're putting in movies for real. It's not by accident. It's not by accident, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, there's not many creative people left in Hollywood, so where do you think they've had to go for their ideas? They go to reality, because, hey, let's face it, reality sucks, and they just love making movies that suck. So it was a perfect mix.
Well, in the case of James Cameron, he's coming your way, unfortunately, Vincent. You'll be able to bump into him.
Yeah, great. I'll go down to his farm and rustle some livestock off him or something. You know, just give him the proper royal treatment and welcome. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, live from New Zealand, and we'll see you again sometime.